Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Super Regional is set for the Vols, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Ryan Shuppert from Rocky Top Insider. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Ryan, it's not going to be Chase Burns and Wake Forest. Not going to be East Carolina. Evansville, the Super Regional matchup for Tennessee coming up this weekend. What did you make of the way that this is kind of shaken out here for the Vols through their bracket and now with Evansville coming in this weekend?
Well, I think starting with Tennessee, it was about as drama-free as a regional weekend can be. And it felt like Tennessee's offense played about as well as it has in 6 weeks or so. I mean, the offense has been good, but it felt like this past weekend it kind of returned to great like it was for a good portion of the season before taking an albeit small step back the last little stretch. But obviously the surprise came in what went down in Greenville, and that was chaotic from the start, where East Carolina and Wake Forest both dropped their first game. But when you saw Evansville, I guess it was, I'm blanking on who they beat in that second game, but for them to get into the regional final, it felt like, all right, well, whoever wins, you know, which at that point East Carolina had prevailed in that crazy game against Wake Forest, it felt like they'll probably find a way to get back. And certainly after East Carolina had the blowout win on Sunday night, you felt like surely they would take care of business. I know they were down to not a ton of pitching, but surely they would take care of business on Monday. And for a while, it looked like that would happen. But that 3-run home run in the 7th inning, and all of a sudden, Evansville, 4-seed, is coming to Knoxville. So quite a surprise. Everybody, I think, from a storyline standpoint, from a writing standpoint, wanted Chase Burns and Wake Forest. East Carolina wouldn't have been a bad consolation because they had such a good team and obviously have been trying to get over that super regional hump. But instead, it's the Evansville Purple Aces, who you kind of have to scramble to do a lot of research about, because I can't say I knew a ton about Evansville going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, this sucks. I mean, talk me into why this doesn't suck, Ryan. I'm really upset. And I mean, this weekend, I feel like the biggest drama might be if you set the new hot dog record in the press box.
Wow.
Which what is that record, by the way? Was it a record?
It was a bet. Six is what I had done that day.
It's pretty good.
Six
pretty
hot strong. Dogs. Yeah. By a certain time, right? That's the seventh strong. Inning or something like that?
Yeah, so it was one hot dog, a normal pregame hot dog, then five hot dogs from the middle of the third inning to the seventh inning strip.
If you did that, it'd be a gout outbreak left and right up there.
Yes, well, that would probably be a bad scene. But seriously, like, is there any hope that we're going to have good baseball? I know they have an ace, a freshman, but like, I just feel like it's just, I was so excited for Chase Burns, and at least East Carolina would have been a good, you know, consolation. Is a program that's never gotten there, but they're a very good program. I mean, are we going to see any good baseball this weekend?
No, I mean, it sucks, to your point. I think it sucks, too. And maybe Evansville will surprise me, but Evansville surprising me would be Evansville winning one game, and it might be a heck of a minor surprise if they make either of the two games competitive. And I'm sure Tony Vitello will do his best to talk up Evansville all week, and certainly the Kenton Deverman, the freshman lefty, has had a good season, but it's just hard to think with how good Tennessee's offense is in that ballpark. They're not going to be able to score a ton of runs, especially when you talk about how much pitching Evansville had to use last weekend. They did luckily avoid using Deverman twice. I mean, my thought was they might have to turn around and use him again yesterday, and then they would have really been in trouble. But I said it to Mike Wilson after the Tennessee game on Sunday, when it was apparent, obviously, that East Carolina had won that game, that we needed East Carolina to win from a storyline standpoint, and it just doesn't feel like there's going to be that much interest. Obviously, everybody's going to watch. Everybody's going to be excited from a Tennessee standpoint, but it just doesn't feel like it's going to have a whole lot of juice this weekend. And it oddly, obviously there was some juice last weekend, but things were so drama-free. It just doesn't feel like things are going to get ratcheted up too much for this Tennessee team until they get to Omaha.
So, Ryan, obviously things are going really well for the Vols right now. They're the number one overall seed. They're hitting the ball as well as anybody. Their pitching's been great all year. If you had to identify something about this group that you're either curious about or that concerns you moving forward, what would it be?
Well, I think it's two things that have kind of proved to be a flaw with this team, and one's just the back of the lineup. It feels like the 7-8-9 has the ability to kind of disappear on them, which I think was probably the most encouraging thing about this past weekend. And look, Cal Stark in the ninth hole, he had a heck of a weekend. I think hit 3 home runs. His on-base percentage was over 500. But he has the ability to have some of these weekends where it's like, who is this Cal Stark guy? So to me, that wasn't necessarily something that makes me change my outlook. What Dean Curley did was kind of an eye-raiser because he raced out to really, as a freshman, had a great first half of the season, and it felt like he had run into a freshman wall. He hadn't hit a home run in the Auburn, I think Game 3 at Auburn series was the last time he'd hit a home run before this past weekend, and he got hit 9 at that point in the season. So for him to hit 2 this past weekend, for him to show some of that power, it's like, okay, well, this is a really talented kid. He's just a freshman, but if he can find another gear, I think that goes a long way to Tennessee. But those two guys combined with the DH spot, which has just kind of been a cluster for Tennessee, they haven't been able to find any sort of consistent answer there all season. Those three guys at the bottom of the lineup has the ability to not be great at times. So it was really encouraging that they had a good weekend, but I think that's one of the concerns. And the second concern, I think, is the pitching depth. And I don't think it shows up in a three-game super regional or in a three-game regional in this case, but if Tennessee does take care of business this week and get back to Omaha, and you're in that regional format again, and if you do have to play 4 or 5 games to get to the College World Series final, I think things become a little dicey with the pitching. There's 7 pitchers I think they have a good bit of trust for. It does feel like they're building a little bit more depth. Andrew Binkie had a fantastic outing against Indiana in Game 2 at a regional. Dylan Loy obviously had that great long relief appearance against LSU and the SEC tournament. Marcus Phillips has shown some flashes, but all those guys are still a little bit of inconsistency around. So if Tennessee's pitching got pushed to 4 games, and granted it wouldn't be as big as a concern in Omaha because of the way those games are spaced out, it really felt like last weekend was where it could be a big problem. But the pitching depth in the back of the lineup, I think, are very small concerns on what is obviously a very well-rounded team.
Yeah, I kind of thought, Ryan, going into the postseason, like, well, A.J. Russell might need to be. They might need that one more arm. And I know, you know, he comes into the SEC tournament briefly, and they're kind of looking at him, and there's not much said. But at this point, I guess, would you be surprised if we saw him?
I would be surprised, yeah. It did not sound very positive the way Tony Vitello talked about it both going into the series, and then he talked about it briefly on Friday night when he was not on the active roster. So they said they were going to get it reevaluated. And look, he came back and his outings weren't terrible or by any means in the SEC tournament, but the velo was down 91-93. And you're talking about a guy that was throwing 97-98 early in the season before the injury. So it just didn't seem like he was like himself. And yeah, I guess you can't close the door completely on him making a return this season, but I would be surprised.
Ryan, when you look at, obviously, the lineup that's been so rock solid all year long, the two guys at the top, Christian Moore, Blake Berg, how do you put into words, into context for our listeners, what they've meant to this group all year long, how big of a weapon they can be as they get into super regional play, and hopefully for their sake, a trip to Omaha coming up?
Oh, I think Christian Moore is having about as good as a season as any Tennessee baseball player ever has, probably up there with what Chris Burke did in 2001. He's been incredible. And I mean, he was good for most of the season, but the last, I guess it's 2 months now, he's just been on an insane tear to where the point last past weekend he hits 310. And I think his on base percentage was right around 500, and he hits 1 home run. And you're like, yeah, kind of a disappointing weekend from Christian Moore. He didn't do all that much at the plate. It's pretty quiet for him. He's just been incredible. He's going to be first. Obviously he's already set Tennessee's single season home run record. It'll be the first one to hit 30 home runs the enters this weekend with 29, and he's done that on top of being just an all-around complete hitter and setting the tone for Tennessee in the leadoff spot. And Blake Burke, I think what's been so impressive about him is just the way his game's evolved. I think you start with what he's done on the defensive side of the ball, where he was a complete liability as a first baseman last year for Tennessee. And this year he was all SEC defensive team and very worthy of being that. He's been a really, really good defender. And I think that's done a lot for Tennessee's defense. Still isn't perfect. It's not great. There's been some issues in the infield. Billy Amick's been pretty shaky ever since he had the appendicitis. But I think Blake Burke, it would be a lot more shaky if it wasn't for what Blake Burke's done at first, which is just night and day compared to last year. And then even at the plate, it's so much different. Last year was so, I mean, he hit 205 in SEC play, and he had some moments in the NCAA tournament. But he was so home run or bust last season. And look, he has 18 home runs this year, so it's not like he hasn't hit them. But his approach has just been so good. He leads the team in doubles. He's second to Moore in extra base hits, and he's right there with him, even though the fact that Moore has, 11 more home runs than him. So he's been a complete hitter. He goes the other way. He's not complete pull side. He works a lot of competitive at-bats. He walks a lot. It just feels like he was such a boomer bust guy and such a one-dimensional player in his first two seasons at Tennessee, and now it feels like he's really well-rounded. And I think he's improved about as much as anyone on this Tennessee roster from last season to this season.
Well, to that point, Ryan, there's been a lot of talk in this state with SEC programs about hitting coach. You know, of course, at Vanderbilt, people are upset. They've kind of, they have not had good offenses lately. I saw the stat the other day about Arkansas in the postseason, basically since Vitello left. Josh Elander is a guy who, you would think just what you described there with Blake Burke, that sounds like coaching, taking and working with a guy and helping a guy with a lot of talent find a better approach and improve. How big of a factor is he? And also, do you think he's a guy who might get plucked here or people might be coming after him?
To start with the second question, yes. I think it's just a matter of time before he gets a job. And I think the thing is, it'll be a big job. He's going to be selective about it. I know he's been a name on a lot of South Carolina hot boards. I think with the South Carolina fan base, a very popular name thrown out there. So whether it's this offseason, the next, or sometime down the road, I think it's just a matter of time before Josh Elander gets an SEC-level job. And certainly South Carolina is about as good as any job in the conference, so maybe it won't be a job at that level, but I think he can kind of be selective and wait for a job at least close to that level for him to get. So I think that's coming at some point, and it certainly could be this offseason. But no, I mean, he's been incredibly important. And I don't think, obviously, Tony Vitello is a fantastic coach, but you cannot undersell how good his assistant coach staff is between Elander and Frank Anderson. And even Quentin Eberhardt, who's the strength and conditioning coach, has been so important to just changing the bodies of so many of these guys. And I think that when you talk about the hitting, I think that works hand in hand with Elander of why they have so much power. And then Elander, he's the ace recruiter on the staff. I mean, he is a fantastic, fantastic recruiter. I would be lying if I said I knew the ins and outs of every single assistant coaching staff in the SEC, assistant coaching staff in the country. But I think Elander is up there with the very best when it comes to what he can do on the recruiting trail on top of being a hitting coach and running Tennessee's offense.
Well, Ryan, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Appreciate you all having me on.
I'll bring the mustard.
I'll use it.
There we go. Nice. Very nice.
Thanks, man.
Ryan Schumpert from Rocky Top Insider, our guest on Robbie and Rex. We'll react to what he had to say, get your thoughts on the Super Regional coming up for the Vols against Evansville, the 4 seed coming out of the other bracket. Joe Rexrode. Very disappointed.
Yay.
Very disappointed. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Open the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Ryan Schumpert for being with us in the last segment. Joe, the Super Regional is set. Tennessee will take on Evansville. So no Chase Burns in Wake Forest. No East Carolina. Evansville, the matchup for Tennessee in the Super Regionals. Your thoughts as somebody who's been very upset about this since it happened last night?
Well, I'm hoping that I really piss off Purple Aces Twitter.
Well, you might.
Let's get Purple Aces Twitter riled up. You have no chance. This is not going to be good.
What's
be
up, brother?
This is a blowout. What?
What's up, brother?
What'd you say up there?
Seriously, play that drop one more time.
What's up, brother?
What the heck was that?
Sketch. Never heard of Sketch?
No?
That's Sketch.
Special team, special players.
Special special plays, special plays.
Ah, look at, see, Robbie's hip.
So many drops that I don't understand. Yep. Yeah, this is going to be garbage. Garbage baseball. But good for, I do look forward
to. You bought an Evansville victory in game one. I mean, you've bought it.
Yeah.
It is happening. Game one, Evansville is going to win.
I look forward to Vitello going all Lou Holtz. Telling us how.
Hey, we're
going to
get an oral history of the Evansville program this week from Tony Vitello.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys wouldn't believe how good these people actually are.
Yeah, look, it's a great story for them to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a program moment. I mean, this will be on the wall somewhere. I mean, they'll put a banner up for making a Super Regional, you know, and good for them. But it's just a complete mismatch. And you know, we didn't get to this with Shumpert, but I've talked about it some. I really feel like this Tennessee team has a really nice balance, it just seems, of they're intense. You know, they've got some vocal leaders. They've got some fiery guys. And they're the number one overall seed, but it feels so different from 2 years ago.
Birds?
Yeah, not even just like, like Beck and Gilbert, you know, the F-bomb and the ref, or the ref, the ump and all that stuff. Just, you know, they've been through that now, some of these guys. Some of these guys were on that team. And, you know, guys like, I mean, Christian Moore, you know, some of these, I mean, you know, Kirby Connell has been a ball pitcher for 19 years in a row. So, I mean, they got some guys who, you know, Drew Beam was a freshman on that team. Like, they've got a nice core of veterans who went through that whole thing. Went through last year when they had a disappointing year, and then they turned it around late. And I just think there's a confidence and a balance of the right intangibles to where I don't worry about them screwing this weekend up at all. And then we'll see in Omaha, because there are definitely going to be more games. You do have more time, so you're going to be able to reuse some guys that you bring in for 2-3 innings and you can come back the next game with them. But that's still the question to me, of course. You're going to have Drew Beam's best for sure.
Yes.
He is your ace, and so you're going to need some, you know, these 6 2/3, 7 1/3 really good performances from him as you get to Omaha, which is a guarantee that you're going to do.
Jeez. Well, then the lineup part of this too, right? Like, the lineup has been so consistent all year. Can you avoid a slump, right? That's part of what Omaha's about, right? Like, can you avoid a slump? Can you keep your lineup going well, good enough at the right time? And they've got so many different options in the lineup and so many guys that have hit the ball so well all year that you feel good about it. I mean, you never are 100% about it, but like, Christian Moore has been tattooing the ball for basically 2 months at this point straight, where it's just been at a ridiculous clip. I mean, they flashed up his stats the other day. Anytime you're hitting over 400, and it's absurd. And then you factor in the power that goes along with it, and there's Burke. And the thing about Tennessee's lineup when they're on that really stands out is, like, you can't really pitch around anybody to avoid trouble, because then when you're doing that, all you're doing is just loading the barrel for somebody else, right? Like, that's what having an elite lineup can do, is it protects you from people trying to really just pitch around and strategize that way. Not that, you know, there are certainly guys that separate themselves. Christian Moore, Blake Burke, and the way that they've hit the ball all year are different. I mean, not everybody on the Tennessee lineups like those guys, but I'm just saying, when they're going like they were this past weekend, they can hurt you 1-9, and that's exactly what they did over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, like Shumpert was saying there, you just don't, you know, with Stark, obviously, I mean, Ensley, and those guys have struggled. The bottom of the line, it's the top six is just insane. It's the Bronx Bombers of Knoxville, the Knox Bombers.
Not your best work.
No, thank you. I agree.
Need to prove it.
I'll work on it during the bye week. The bottom of the order has been an issue, but there's still guys on there who are dangerous too. Again, Tears batting six in a college lineup is something else. You know, you go through the top prospects, the top pro prospects who are left in the tournament. Mike Monaco had had a good tweet about this, kind of listing out the top. And then one thing that's really interesting about it is just about everybody on that list is an offensive player.
Yeah.
You know, it's just – and this is where I go back to, like, last year they run into the Skeens train, and they actually – they did a great job to beat Quinn Matthews, who was also elite. I mean, this year, again, I think if they just get solid pitching and what they've been getting, I understand the park's bigger. They're not going to hit everything out of the park, but I think that they have a really good chance. They're not facing – they just aren't the elite guys in the mound this year like there are some years that are going to be in Omaha.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. The table is setting up really nicely for them. Like, with the regional was drama-free, as Ryan Shumpert put it. And I get it. Evansville is a good story. Clearly, they've got some talent. They just went through that regional and won. So, clearly, they're a good team. But, I mean, if you're giving Tony Vitello and the Vols some truth serum here, this worked out pretty well for them. Like, the table, not only in the super regional, but really everywhere else, is setting up for them to win a national championship. That's what it's doing. Now it's up to them to go out and do the job. But it's setting up very nicely for them.
Seems like you're kind of jinxing them too. I mean, you know, I'm not the only one. I'm just saying they're getting Omaha for sure.
You said they'll never lose another game.
Before Omaha.
That's not what I heard.
They might lose a game or two in Omaha. They might lose a game in Omaha, I guess.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, minicamp is here for the Tennessee Titans. What are we looking for as the Titans take the field? Also get back into some potential free agent acquisitions for the Titans that are still out there and available as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Become a sponsor of the 615 Open or register as a team. Proceeds will help raise money for Souls for Souls. Sponsorship packages could include email campaigns, commercials, radio advertising, and a whole lot more. Learn about our different packages and how you can support a good cause at 615open.com. Joe Rexroad, the Tennessee Titans, back on the field for minicamp coming up this week. 3 days in a row of minicamp. You're going to be out there covering every last drop of it out there. Very excited. What are we looking for Titans minicamp? And how much of that has to do with either who's on the field or who's not on the field?
Yeah, it's probably that, right? It's probably that. And I think Brian Callahan said that the work itself will be similar. And there's been a couple of the days that we've been out there. There has not been a lot going on. Obviously, mandatory minicamp, you have, in theory, everybody there. The biggest thing I'm looking at is, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Tavondre Sweat. I think those guys, like, what are we talking about here in terms of severity of injury and things like that? I guess the DeAndre Hopkins thing could be a thing. We'll see if it's a thing. Yes, sure.
Is he going to go German again?
Who knows? He may say, yeah.
I'm more interested in
French.
Somebody needs to follow up with each member of the defense that was here last year. So what did you guys do at practice? Tell me what a Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel correction look like. I'm more interested in that than anything that happens actually on the field this week. That's how I feel about minicamp and OTAs.
There it is. Let's hear from more guys about the lack of mistakes, Craig.
Because
as Zach
down.
Said, it told us a whole lot, that Arden Key quote. That said, that explains a lot.
I think we should just double down more with Arden Key. What more questions can we ask Arden Key to elicit the response of, well, hell yeah.
Well, the thing is, I don't know that Arden Key, because they're doing, you know, they're choosing guys coming off the field. So I'm guessing since he talked last week, he probably wouldn't be one of the guys.
You better
guys
put him up there this week.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't get your hopes up, but I don't know. Sneed too. Like is Legarius Sneed participating? Who else was around? You know, obviously, like Simmons will be around. Some of those guys who I think were just not out there.
Yep.
So there's that, and that's
what you're looking for.
3 days of that. That's
good. That'll be
and
fun.
Then the next day we'll ask again, then we'll look again, and the next day we'll also look there.
That'll be fun.
So when it comes down to it in these practices like this, you really – the one thing you can watch is you can watch receivers and corners go against each other, and you can watch quarterbacks throw the ball, and a little bit of, you know, tight ends and backs going out and catching the ball too. It's 7-on-7 football, right?
Yep.
Like that's – even if you do team or whatever, I mean, it's there's no contact. There's no clue on running game or anything like that. Running the football, you can see how the guys are executing the passing game. So, look, there are good corners and good receivers on this roster, which should make for hopefully some good, interesting reps.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good talk to you. Over the weekend, I was reading an article that was talking about defenses building from the back end because quarterbacks are, you know, the value commodity and everything. Don't get them hurt by them pass rushers, so eliminate expensive pass rushers like Myles Garrett. Just get rid of the ball fast, keep your quarterback healthy. And I like our secondary, but safety is a little concerning. Do y'all really trust Molden back there?
Thanks for the call, Kyle. To me, no, I don't. I'm not saying they can't get by with Molden, and if he stays healthy, then I think he can be a good player. But I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him staying healthy at this point. Safety, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Safety is a position to me that I expect the Titans to be active in, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to land Justin Simmons, but Simmons is out there, May is out there, Jamal Adams is out there. I mean, there's some intriguing guys that are out there and available, and there's going to be some activity on the safety front around the league, I would assume, relatively shortly. I wonder if the Titans involve themselves in that, and if so, how quickly do they do it? But I expect there to be one name added to the safety group. I'd be surprised if there's not.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm not intrigued personally by Jamal Adams at this point in his career, but he is one of those names.
There's Diggs out there too.
Yeah. Simmons, I think, would be my choice. But I agree. Molden, I think, has done some good things. It's been really hard for him to stay healthy.
Yep.
And so you just have to look at the history and just not assume that you're going to have him the whole season. I mentioned TD earlier. Matthew Jackson is a guy that he mentioned that he likes him out there. You're talking about a second-year guy, Eastern Kentucky, 25 years old. Mike Brown is out there. And Mike Brown has done some things. But especially with Hooker, Imani Hooker, who's been a really good player when he's healthy, his own health struggle. I think you really have to address the depth there. You could be in a bind. You know, Molden is also a guy who, of course, can move around, has played the nickel some. I mean, they're pretty stocked at corner now. So, to me, he's got to help at safety. That's what he's got to be. But, yeah, I think you certainly have to sign more depth. You're just talking about – and then other than the guys we just mentioned, you got Keaton Ellis, undrafted rookie out of Penn State. So they need more help there. I'm trying to remember the call as far as getting the ball out fast. I mean, you know, that's the thing. If the Titans are going to press more now, they're going to be more aggressive now, you try to take that stuff away, and then you give – your pass rushers an extra beat or two to get to the QB.
Well, that's the other thing we discussed earlier. Are there other positions that the Titans could still address in free agency? And we brought up tight end. There's not a ton of great options out there and available at tight end. Could bring Jeff Swain back. Could do that. Edge rusher? I mean, there's not a ton of great options there either. You know, Yannick Ngakoue is still out there and available. He's 29. He had 4 sacks and I believe 13 games last year with Chicago. So it's been going the other way on him. But could a guy like that be worth a one-year kind of a flyer prove-it deal at this point? I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened, if the Titans took a flyer on somebody like that at edge rusher, because I do think they could use help there. I would be stunned if they didn't add to safety. Like I think adding to the safety position is going to be and is a part of their plan here.
Yeah, no, I think you need to do that. I think I get the idea of edge. I just don't really – I don't love the options. I think at least with edge they have some young guys who could potentially give them some depth.
Maybe it's time for Caleb Murphy.
Maybe.
3,000 sacks in college.
Yeah, so. that he did. Ferris State, baby. So we're land of Butch Jones.
Yeah. Scary place to be.
But tight end, defensive line, I think there's certainly some spots on this roster we haven't talked. Right tackle.
Right tackle. They don't.
Do they address?
Have right. a right tackle.
But we've talked about, you go all the way back to the beginning of free agency and the slimness of those pickings. Yeah. So, I think they'll do more. Safety just seems like a gimme, a no-brainer, a must-have.
Dennis on the text line, why are guys like Simmons and Diggs still out there? Are they just waiting for teams to panic and overpay? That is a fair question. Like, when you look at safety, you know, Byard, actually, I thought he might be out there a little bit longer than he was. Byard got released by the Eagles and was picked up pretty quick after that by Chicago, which underrated part of week one, by the way. Interesting
yeah.
to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of proven safeties that are out there and available. I wonder, number one, what's the holdup been? What sort of money are they asking for? And maybe the most intriguing part is, like, what sort of a deal is a Justin Simmons or a Diggs? Like, what are they actually going to get when it comes down to it, either from the Titans or elsewhere?
I mean, to answer Dennis's question, in general, that would be, I think, typically what it is, right? Like, you're not seeing what you like, and so it's like, you know what, someone's going to get – it's just like – well, what did we talk about all last summer with Hopkins, right? I mean, eventually the Titans got aggressive and he started making his visits and all that stuff. But
yep.
And hey, look, I think I look at Ryan Tannehill right now. Sorry, Trey, who thinks that he's a garbage QB who shouldn't even be in the league. But I look at him and I think he's not seeing an opportunity he loves, and also figuring someone's going to tear something
yep.
at some point in camp, and then all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, emergency, and there he will be available to step in.
Well, it could be as simple as what Caleb brings up of, these guys are vets. They're not trying to go to OTAs and whatnot, waiting to the last minute to avoid injury. Like, yeah, I don't want to go to OTAs. Some people don't want to, like, the clowny approach of, I'll show up like three-quarters of the way through training camp. We'll go from there.
Can't blame him at all.
Training camp? No, thank you. I'll sign on August 30th.
I mean, Barry Sanders basically just like, yeah, I'll see you at the beginning of the season. And everybody's like, yeah, it's fine. We have three running plays. We have sprint draw left, sprint draw right, and, you know, one other one.
It's all, I always like Derrick Henry. Derrick, welcome to training camp. You now have a month of playing in the sand over there.
There you go. There's the sand pit for you. Every once in a while you can run up. An offensive play in which there's no chance that you'll get touched by anybody. Yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you, taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. By the way, a couple of questions on the text line about Caleb Farley. How's Caleb Farley looking? What should we keep an eye on for Caleb Farley? And one idea on the text line about moving Caleb Farley to free safety. Says he can't play cornerback in the NFL. A lot of older corners get moved to safety. Even though he's not 30, he's lengthy ideal for a free safety. What do you think of that?
I don't hate it. Like I said in response, I don't think he's going to make the team. Remember back whenever, you know, when he was struggling a couple of years ago, I think we talked a little bit about, what about receiver?
Yeah, he played receiver in college.
He did. He really didn't play like a ton of cornerback in college. And I think at that time I was like, yeah, he's not a safety. But at this point in his career, he physically fits the bill of a guy who could play safety. So I don't hate that idea. They are in need, and he's – nowhere near the top of the cornerback depth chart. Again, I think it's gonna be tough for him to make the team.
Yep.
But hey, we'll see. He's out there, and there's certainly still some measurables at play there, and some intangibles at play there. And I don't think it's the craziest idea I've ever heard.
Look, give it a shot. Why not? Like, clearly, and this is both from his injury standpoint, the performance on the field. Like, he's clearly not helping you at corner. You've moved on at corner. You've invested other resources pretty heavily at the corner position. So why not give it a look? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'm not opposed to giving it a look in the preseason and training camp and seeing how things go back there at safety. Honestly, that might be his best path to staying in the league at this point. I don't know. Yeah. So I think it's worth a shot.
It's possible.
I don't have high expectations that it would work out, but I don't think there's any harm giving it a look at this point.
Yeah, like if I'm him having – and understanding that most of the issues are injury-related, but even just having gone through enough of this league and struggling at corner, I could see being interested. I can see him being interested in something like that. Get him on the field and still be able to use it. You know, it's just a very different,
I mean, what a story
kind of
it would
job.
Be if it worked out to, like, even an ancillary level of him being a rotational player. Like, at this point – forget the first-round draft pick stuff. Obviously, it was a bad pick. We all know that. There's no point in harping on that anymore. I mean, it was a bad pick. But at this point, given everything he's been through from an injury standpoint, the personal tragedy in his own life that he's been through with his father and all that, like, it would be quite the story if he found a way to hang around, either with this team or in the league in some capacity.
Trevor's mad that we waste a thought on Caleb Farley. But, there's a void at safety.
A lot of thoughts in June the 4th that we, we don't have time to talk about.
I mean, I could tell you some wasteful thoughts that I have in June, okay? But I don't know. You got to try to get – you know, another thing we haven't talked about is James Williams.
Dennis on the text line. Trying Farley at safety? I wouldn't rebuke that.
Oh, nice.
Going back
job.
To very
yes.
nice. Very nice Caleb Farley.
Yes, very nice. I want to make, but James Williams. Now, obviously, he's drafted as a linebacker. He's a linebacker. I mean, talking 6'4", 232.
Yep.
But, like, is there, we've talked about, like, the Crookshank role, right? With tight ends. Like, is James Williams a guy who, in certain looks, could sort of be like a safety?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm interested.
How well can he move?
I will say, having watched briefly, and again, you know, take my little observations from standing on the sideline with all the grains of salt you can. Yeah, it moves pretty well.
Okay.
I mean, he's like, he is certainly – I'll be very surprised if James Williams isn't noticed this year on special teams. Yeah, he's an athlete. And
yeah.
So, you know, that's – I mean, there's so many things we don't know about Denard Wilson's defense other than they correct all mistakes. But,
yeah. What do you think
– there's a lot to find out.
How do you think the new kickoff rule is going to impact the Titans from a return standpoint? Like, how do you the kickoff return for the Titans has not even been worth mentioning in what feels like over a decade. Like, there's been almost nothing to it. The league is trying to fix it. That's why the new rule is coming into play this year. How do you think the new rule will impact the Titans? Who do you think could be a big part of that?
Yeah, well, I think TD, I think it was TD. I think you will see more potentially like quote-unquote regulars involved. So maybe a guy like Tajay Spears, would he be a guy who could be effective? So, I don't know what it's going to look like with them, but it does make it more relevant again. So – And potentially make it so that, you know, you could throw somebody out there who in the past you would not have done that. So maybe he'd be – I think he could be effective.
Well, you're going to see more – like the return is going to be a bigger part of the league
right.
this year. You're going to see the return have more of an impact on games because of – how teams are lining up, you know, the inability to just take off running before the kick. I mean, there's a lot of things that have changed about the kickoff over the last few years. But, you know, prior to this, it's been, okay, we'll just boot the ball through the back of the end zone. You start on the 25 and have fun. It's not going to be that this year. Like, it's going to be pretty different. So I'm interested to see, like, teams that can exploit that and can take advantage of it. It's not going to be the be-all, end-all, but it can make a difference in a game. It can make a difference in a couple of games, and that may be the difference in – you know, you making the playoffs or not.
Sure. Hey, I mean, look, it's so far away. You think about the days of, like, Devin Hester and what a difference he made. I mean, speaking of, like Rex Grossman, we were talking earlier today about, like, Rex Grossman getting the Bears. I believe that was the Hester era, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, my beloved Detroit Lions, Mel Gray back in the day, just an enormous weapon. He couldn't play receiver a lick, but just an incredible weapon on a kick return. It used to be obviously a much bigger part of the game. And, you know, look, it's understandable why things went the way they went, because when you went through the data, and it's very logical, right? It's just physics. Guys running that fast in opposite directions, it's the most dangerous play.
Yep.
But I think this change is good because it brings it back as a relevant play again.
Yeah. I mean, the 10 players not being able to move until the ball hits the ground or the player catches it or whatever, like, that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
For at least the first little while. And it's going to be like anything else. Like, teams are going to adjust and having, you know, directional kicking and having – people be able to land the ball at a certain spot. It's going to be really entertaining to see.
Well, it's gotten to the point where you almost barely even pay attention to the kickoff. It's just like it's the commercial after the extra point. So exactly. We actually want to watch it this year.
Yeah.
That's something. Gosh, it's a reason to watch a freaking preseason game almost.
It is almost. Especially when San and Portland suggest, I mean, put all starters in this year. Be a lot of preseason.
Santa Portland's big on those starters in the preseason, isn't he?
Somebody on the text line wants to know, why are y'all fat as hell and bald? Retro's not bald.
I mean, I don't know.
It's been an interesting day on the text
line. What are you saying? I'm fat as hell?
No. I'm just pointing out you're not bald.
It has been an interesting day on the text line. A lot of football knowledge shared today on the text line.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a very mean comment, random 302 area code. What's 302 area code?
Let's see here.
Where's this mean person from who's ripping us?
Delaware.
Oh, Delaware. God. Like George Thorogood. That's all I know from Delaware. I don't even know if he's from there, but I just know it's George Thorogood, the Delaware Destroyers. That's all I got.
Why are you guys fat as hell and bald?
It's a fair question. It is. The text line is here for the people. If you have a question, ask your question. It's fine. I eat a lot. Okay? So there's my answer.
I've been bald since the age of 18. There's my answer.
All right. See,
I don't know what to do about it.
We address all things on the text line.
We do. We do address all things on the text line. OTAs, well, the mini camp this week, and then one more week of OTAs after that. And then,
which is like, talk about anticlimactic. The last week of OTAs, I'll be gone. Sorry.
So we'll have the players. All right. We'll see you guys at training camp.
But, so, yes, this is it. This is really it. Culmination of the offseason. Three straight days of minicamp.
Three straight days of minicamp.
Who's
we'll
excited?
See what's out there. It would be nice, and I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all in June. It would be nice to see Tavondre Sweat, Nicholas Petit-Frere out on the field.
Jalen Duncan. L'Jarius Sneed would almost be like a little pleasant surprise.
And I even care. I care about that, but like that. Even like I know he can play.
Right.
I know he's a good player.
Yes.
So I need the other guys on the field.
Yeah, Petit Frere, he needs reps. I think he could be the right tackle, but he needs reps.
Yeah, for sure. And Sweat, like, it would be nice to just see him out there move around. I mean, he needs reps too, but again, like, you know what he is in terms of just the physical specimen that he is, but continuing to get in better shape, continuing to improve in that area, and continuing to prove that he can stay on the field and be a factor for you this year. You need him to be a factor.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's not, you know, again, there's limitations in like what the big guys are going to be doing.
Yep.
Yeah, watching him rep against some of these NFL veteran offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
We'll keep an eye on it. We'll have Rex Rhodes' full report tomorrow that he's very excited
detailed.
About. Paul Kuharsky will be with us tomorrow on the program as well. We'll continue to work on our fatness and our baldness until tomorrow as well. We'll have an update.
I got lettuce on top of this tub.
That does it for us today on the program. Jason, Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.